photograph heads the page with eight people photographed individually. Starting left to right, there is a photo of Joanna Young, who is smiling at the camera and has short, light brown hair and earrings. Joanna has a red scarf on and a cream woolen jumper. Next is Max Alexander, who is smiling widely at the camera and is against a cream background and has a shaved head, glasses, and a pink, white, and grey patterned shirt. Next to Max is Mary Robinson, who is smiling at the camera and has a bridge and forest behind her. Mary has mid-length curly light grey and dark grey hair and is wearing a cream and grey patterned scarf and a black jacket. To the right is Kirsty Biff Nicholson. Kirsty is smiling at the camera and has short light brown hair, a copper jacket and a camouflage patterned shirt. We move to the second row below and start with Kirsten Georgia Abraham, who is looking up to the right and is pictured against wooden panels. Kirsten has on a black roll neck jumper and has long dark brown hair. Next is Narashini Thambar, who is pictured against a wall and a tree looking at the camera. Narashini has mid-length black hair and is wearing a dark green jumper and a multicoloured necklace. Next is Nina Doherty, who is pictured against a tree and is smiling at the camera. Nina is wearing a yellow hooded rain jacket and has long light brown hair. Finally pictured is Dr. Sonia Alori. Sonia is against a blurred background, is wearing a black and white star pattern top. Sonia is playing bass clarinet and has mid-length dark and light brown hair tied to the side. 13th of June 2022, blog post. Accessible recruitment, what we've learned so far. One of the key aims of Culture Collective is to create work, jobs for artists, and so far Culture Collective projects have filled well over 300 roles. With such a remit, it's naturally important that we attract and support a diverse range of applicants to reflect the diversity of Scotland's communities and to bring a wide range of insight to the network. We've asked three of Culture Collective projects to share what they've been doing to try to make their recruitment processes more accessible, in the hope that some of their learning may be useful to others. It's worth noting at the outset that none of these projects would describe themselves as having nailed accessible recruitment. These are steps on a journey shared here in the spirit of openness and generosity. Mary Robinson, Independent Arts Projects, Sensory Collective. In autumn 2021, the Sensory Collective recruited a team of six artists and one producer to deliver a new year-long programme of sensory arts projects for those who experience multiple barriers to access mainstream arts activities. As such, it was especially important to recruit a team with lived experience of disability. Here are some of the steps Sensory Collective took to make their recruitment process accessible. Job packs were made available in a range of formats. Here this included PDF format, audio format, and as videos alongside a captioned introductory video about the project, as well as enlarged print versions in mono and in blue, green, and purple colours. The team held 15 one-to-one sessions via Zoom and phone and one group session for potential applicants to ask questions about the role. FAQs from these sessions were written up anonymously and shared on the website for the benefit of those who didn't attend a session. When it came to interview, a freelance artist was paid to sit on the interview panel to bring an additional perspective to interviews. Information about the interview process was sent to interviewees 48 hours in advance. This included information about who would be on the panel, what questions would be asked, and what the interview structure would be. Interviewees were offered a choice of Zoom or face-to-face interviews. The panel took a more human approach to recruitment with personal emails acknowledging applications, thanking applicants for their time, and offering feedback. The call-outs remain available for reference here. Feedback from applicants underlined the impact of this approach. Two of these are as follows. I have only watched the first video outlining what the year-long project and positions will look like. I have found this to be the most encouraging thing I have ever come across to apply for a position. I am nearly in tears, I'm not sure why. It's almost like I felt like the video was talking to me. Obviously not. For someone in the creative industry and having dyslexia, scrolling through job posts online can be the most overwhelming thing to ever do. But to have a video format alongside a job description is just game-changing. Thank you for truly being inclusive in your approach. Apologies, I just felt compelled to share my experience so far with going through the information on positions available. The next feedback says, I have to say, I really appreciate the care and effort that was taken to make the job spec as accessible as possible. I've done a bit of accessibility consulting in the arts, and it was so nice to see someone doing this work off their own back. Natalia Palombo, Deverin Projects. Deverin Projects is working with artists through three open calls, Room to Fail, Room to Grow, and Room to Do Anything You Like, tied into Deverin's cultural framework, The Town is the Venue. The project's rural location often means that artists need to relocate to Huntley for the duration of the residency, so it's especially important to help artists understand whether the role is right for them. In this case, Deverin's recruitment process included the following considerations. Very flexible, open briefs encouraged applicants to bring their own experience and input to shape a role and remit that suited their interests. They also encouraged the artists to choose the length and structure of their residency. The application process consisted of two stages, with the first being a simple one-page expression of interest. Applicants who were invited to progress to stage two of the recruitment process were paid £250 for their time in preparing for and attending this stage. Stage two of the recruitment process was a discussion between the applicant and the organisation, which specifically drew on the questions and details from their stage one application. This shared the responsibility of preparing for this stage more evenly between the applicant and organisation. The team were aware that the scale of these commissions, £18,380 fee plus £10,000 production budget, felt intimidating to some artists. As such, Deverin made a particular effort to contact artists directly as well as a fully open call to encourage them to make an application. Deverin Projects encouraged applicants to call members of the Deverin Projects team to discuss these opportunities and their experiences of working with the organisation and living in Huntley. This helped make sure that applicants have enough understanding and information about the local context to propose projects relevant to their place. Catherine Wheeler, The Stove Network, What We Do Now. The Stove's culture collective project, What We Do Now, recruited creative freelancers to work in five towns across Dumfries and Galloway. The intention of these roles was to amplify less heard parts of their communities through place-specific, relevant, community-led artistic projects. In thinking about accessibility through the recruitment process, the team aimed to create the spaces, give the time, and ensure that they had resources available to make their call out, an application process approachable and supportive to diverse individual needs. This included an application pack that used straightforward language. There was detail provided on the Stove's understanding of some terms used, such as what they considered to be creative practice. Options for applications to be submitted in varying forms, such as an audio file or video recording, and clear text and BSL video versions of the application materials were provided. Clear detail was provided on the selection criteria and application process, including expected dates for interviews and the length of time people would likely need to wait to hear the outcome of their application. Holding group sessions and offering one-to-one information sessions, which were open to anyone interested in the opportunities. This was a very successful approach with a substantial take-up. Reflecting on the process, Catherine notes, to really approach accessibility and try to offer more person-centred approaches to recruitment takes time, and the team really put their whole selves into this process. I think we all learned a bit more about the resources and energy needed to manage and support accessibility issues effectively through this process. As a sector, I think we need to keep reflecting this to funders and partners, In our communication, our budgets, and through honest reflection and evaluation, in order to make opportunities more inclusive and available to all. Note to funders, expect additional requests for more money for less activity to support more accessible approaches.